Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon. It's been a while since we've all been together and all of us have been together. Welcome Jay and Leanne to be with us today. When they walked in, Jay said, "Oh, nice chairs." I said, "Yeah, they're the ones we've always had." He said, "Well, last time we were here, you had just gotten the building and the remodel wasn't done and you weren't in it." So it's been a while. So we're glad you can be with us again. All right. Maybe some more coming, or there may not, or there may be some joining us on Zoom. We welcome you. But we're here to worship the Lord and enjoy his company. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can be together in a place that we've set apart to worship you. And as we gather here, we know your presence because you promised to be with us. And so we're so grateful that you've come, that you're here. As we're in your presence, I pray today that we will be changed into your likeness in fresh ways. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for all that you accomplished for us and for your great love for us. I love you so much. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and just break in and have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. God is faithful. So we are grateful. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us this afternoon?
Hymns are just tough, right? There should be a resounding bass that is not there.
Eliza actually put that list together weeks. weeks ago. Yeah.
Very well done.
It was well done.
So the hymn was actually meant for someone else to enjoy.
Yes.
We'll enjoy them too.
It's okay, we can continue to enjoy it. Take on new meaning, fresh power. Somebody told me the best sermons I preached at Prince of Peace were the ones from the time I was asked to leave until I actually did. I think sometimes the most powerful experiences we have with the Lord are when we are the most vulnerable. Sorry. You were about to say something, Jay?
No. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I understand.
Which I didn't need to say. That's why.
Okay. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements,
estates and inheritances,
interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
I always said that that phrase felt different when some of your children are in the audience and talking about inheritances. But my dad was there. So, Lydia, do you want to pass the basket?
Amen.
The Lord does take good care of us. Shall we do a children's story? I've got my children's story written on this paper so I can just read it, see what it says.
Nothing.
Oh. Well, thanks for coming for the children's story. I have some verses I want to read. We all stumble. This is from the book of James, chapter 3. So this is something the Bible says. It says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Okay? So what we say, words we use, are important. So when we put bits in the mouth of horses, you know what a bit is that you put in the mouth of a horse? It's part of the harness, so that you can steer in which way to go, that pulling's jawbone, one way or the other. It must hurt. Gets their attention. Okay, to make horses obey us, we can turn the whole app. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. It brags a lot. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. Some pretty strong words there about the body. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Well, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Okay. So our tongue is important, and what we say is important. You've heard the little poem. Sticks and stones can hurt my bone, can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Is that true? No, it's not. No, not at all. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a little boy who became a man. This little boy had brothers and sisters, and his mother referred to him as her little banty rooster. And do you know what a banty rooster is?
Yeah.
A banty is a small chicken, but a banty rooster is a feisty chicken. It fights bigger than its body is. And it will bristle up, and it will let other chickens know their place, put them in their place, ready to fight at a moment's notice. And so she was saying that this son of hers was like a little baby rooster. He was small, but he was fierce. And so he would get in fights with his sisters and brothers. In fact, one sister was quoted as saying, "Yeah, my brothers," and that would have included this brother, "pestered me and tormented me something terrible when I was growing up." But as life went on, this little boy grew into teenage years, into young adult years, and mature years, and his tongue changed, and his heart changed. He came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he became a gentle person, one that people didn't often see him get angry, if they did at all, and one who was known as a person of love and gentleness and kindness and generosity. Why? Because his tongue changed. Because he gave his tongue to Jesus, and Jesus changed his tongue into a source of blessing instead of a curse. And you may not know it, but you know this person. Can you tell me who he is? He was your great-granddad.
What?
No, his sister was buried.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, that's why she tormented us.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you see your great-granddad as being a little banny rooster?
No.
No. Can you see him as angry and calling people names and saying bad things about them?
Nope.
No, you can't, can you? That's the difference Jesus can make in a person's life. And nothing would make your great granddad happier than to know you were living for Jesus with your whole heart, with everything you got. Thank you, Father. And when we come to you through the name of Jesus, we change our lives, change our hearts, change our tongues. I pray for these children. They'll find that life-changing experience in you and live for you their whole lives. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay.
Jeremy or Carla, would you send Annette the link of the Zoom meeting? She says she doesn't have it in there. She apparently just got a new phone, so she doesn't have some previous texts that would have had it. Okay. All right. I have asked Jay to preach for us today, and he's agreed to do it. And I appreciate that. Annette is coming in. I see Ruth is connecting. That's great. So you want to come up, Jay?
All right.
Give you this because the Zoom people made it. There's nothing else. Nancy's on Zoom.
So you're saying that's getting me nervous?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Good.
Whatever.
That's how big brothers are supposed to treat little brothers. Right?
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thanks. It's good to be here. A variety of things come to mind, especially being here. I mean, I already mentioned that it's tough to sing a hymn when my dad's not singing along. It's difficult because they just go hand in hand, that bass voice with a hymn. But I want to say something more to you people that are shorter than me or younger than me. Sometimes growing up, I grew up in a family, you guys all know my dad and you all know my big brother. I'm a little bit different than both of them. And I thought sometimes a little bit different than both of them. There were times in my growing up that I thought I didn't really fit. And I wondered how in the world, what in the world? You know, it's like, what's up? And as I've finally gotten older, it was somewhere in my 20s probably or later even, that I started realizing it didn't matter that I didn't fit. God made me to be who I am. And I had thoughts that I thought were just of me and were odd, and they didn't totally mesh with what I'd always heard. And yet it was God all along bringing me up to be who I was. So I want to let you guys that are still younger realize that, you know what? When you don't think you quite agree all the time, that's okay, because sometimes you don't quite agree. And one of those things that I remember as a kid growing up is I heard sermons on wives, submit yourself to your husband. And we heard that a lot. I'm so glad the songs we sang were all about freedom instead of religion, because yes, that's a Bible verse. But the way it was interpreted was legalistic and religion. And at some point in my life, I mean, I knew, wait a minute, this isn't quite right, because it said, you know, we're always taught how women should submit themselves to their husbands. And I thought, yeah, they should submit themselves to their husbands. Somehow it's got to be more of a partnership, doesn't it? Doesn't it have to be more of a working together? And that's not really what the sermons were about. And then as I was older, I read the next verse. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And if you look down at verse 24, or you look at verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, it's the verse I was talking about. It says, wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so the wives ought to be in everything to their husbands. And man, I heard a bunch of sermons preached on that. But when I got older, I realized the next verse is really the important one. And that's what I want us to look at a little bit tonight. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay? That's what I want us to focus on tonight. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her. So, what did Jesus do for the church? I mean, that's what we got to think about. That's what Paul said. Guys, if you're married, you got to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. Well, how much did Christ love the church? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Yeah, let's go ahead and turn back over. So this is only a page away. It says, let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He was God. He was in heaven. He could have just stayed in heaven. But what did the song a little while ago we sang say? He didn't want heaven without us. So he came to earth. He emptied himself of his godliness. He just poured his godliness out and said, you know what? I love you people so much. I'm going to be a human just like you. not for my own good, but for your good. So guys, next time you say, why submit yourself to me? Think again. Wait a minute. Have I emptied myself? What have I done for my wife lately? What have I done to make her even want to be with me? I mean, I think that every day. Why in the world did this wonderful woman marry me? But that's a different thing. You know, why would she want to? Did your relationship only look out for the good of yourself? Or do you look out for the good of your spouse? Later in Ephesians, Paul goes on and says, for this reason, husbands should leave their fathers and mothers and cleave unto their wives. That's in back in Ephesians 5, verse 31. And the two become one. And that's important. I mean, we look at families, and yes, all of you guys live close to your mom and dad. However, you all left your mom and dad and gone off to become one. When you wind up living as a couple and you're thinking, boy, this is how mom, you don't cook the way mom cooks. You don't do things the way dad does things if you're a wife. You're calling for trouble. Bible tells us, no, we should go out. We should be our own person. That's part of why when you young people realize, you know what, I don't totally agree with mom and dad. I know they're wise. I know they're smart. But there are just some things I don't quite agree with. That's God telling you. Keep on going. But what else do we know about Jesus and how he lived when he was here on earth? I mean, he left heaven when he could have stayed there. But he lived here on earth in order to show us how we ought to live. He was born in a manger, so he wasn't wealthy. He wasn't loved by the people. I mean, think of the Christmas story. When Mary goes, they had to go away to be taxed. She's obviously very pregnant, getting ready to give birth to a baby. She goes to the motel and they say, nah, no room, sorry, go somewhere else. Finally, someone says, well, you can stay in my barn. I mean, heavens, that's pretty low on the totem pole. And it couldn't have been easy for him growing up, even though he was part of a family. And you know, he had a loving mom and dad. We celebrate that every year. But at 12, he was in the temple. And this God part of him started popping out, I believe. It was tough for him to just stay as a human. But yet he had emptied himself so he could do that. Why did he do that? He did that for us. And he did that for us, and because he loved us. And he didn't want heaven without us. Guys, when we think of our wives, even though the other part of us sometimes might be popping out and we want to stand up and tell them the right way to do things, sometimes we got to sit down and say, wait a minute, not quite right. We got to listen. We got to pay attention. We got to let the not man side of us come out a little bit and just relax and realize that it was tough also for Jesus to be a human being. He lived amongst people that the religious people didn't like too much. You know, the religious people looked at him and said, man, he hangs out with tax collectors and sinners, and he hangs out with the wrong crowd. And yet, here he was on earth, as God, as perfect, hanging out with the wrong crowd, with people that weren't like him. People that were very different from him. He loved them. He cared for them. He loves and he cares for us. And he did things differently than people forever are like to do things. There was a time, I think, of in Matthew chapter 14. Lazarus had just died. And he was ministering with people all the time. And he didn't want to. He was just tired. He went by boat across the lake to get away from the crowds. And here all of a sudden the crowd showed up again. And he just said, you know what? I got to keep going. I can't stop just because I'm tired. I got to keep going. And he ministered to the crowds. And then when it was evening, he said to the disciples, he said, feed them and send them away because it's nighttime. And his disciples said, we don't have enough food. So he took the loaves and the fishes and he multiplied them. And he said, okay, now distribute them. And they distributed it. And then he finally got some quiet time. How many times when we come home, guys, we're expecting a great meal and we discover she wasn't able to get things going today. It was a tough day for her. Everything went wrong. How do we react? Do we react by anger and being a guy, you need to submit to me? Or do we react Christ-like and say, you know what? You had a tough day. It's time for me to be the minister and care for you and take care of you. All through his life on earth, he cared for others. He showed us in so many different ways. He touched lepers, which, man, no way. You don't touch a leper. If you touch a leper, you wind up with leprosy. But he touched lepers because he knew he could heal lepers. He could help them. He spoke with a woman of Samaria. I mean, that should have never been recorded in scripture because good guys. As bad as my brother. He turned it on at the wrong time. I just made it fall. There we go. He spoke with the woman of Samaria and guys didn't talk to women in those days. I mean, the rabbis would pray a prayer thanking God that they weren't born a woman or a dog. I mean, for heaven's sake, they were glad they were men. And women were just second-class citizens, but not in Jesus's eyes. Jesus realized that everybody was important, no matter who they were. And so he cared enough that he spent time with this woman of Samaria. And it was important enough that they wrote it down because it was odd. It was strange. But not just odd and strange. It showed that God came to earth and walked among us. And not just for him, but he did it for us because he loved us so much. So guys, where are we at as men when it comes to our relationships? And I can go on and say, wives, where are you at when it comes to your husbands in regard to relationships? You know, because the verse isn't so much about how to treat your husband or how to treat your wife. The verse is about how to be a couple together, how to be partners in this whole thing. And that's the thing that when I was a kid, I realized early on, because I watched the life of Jesus, because I've been taught all the stories from little on up about how Jesus treated others, I knew that it's not so much that one has one. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But this thing doesn't like me. I guess I'm making it jump up and down on the podium too much or something. But anyhow, it's not so much who's in charge or who's not in charge. It's more how are we working together at this thing called life? How are we working together at relationships with one another? That song was so wonderful. I hadn't heard it before. So Jesus said, you didn't want heaven without us. And I would say that to us, each one of us here today. How would you like your family without the other one? You know, you guys, all, what is it, six? All six of you. You love each other. It's a matter of you wouldn't want to be a family, but oh, once in a while, I know that. But overall, you love each other. And you four back there, you all love each other. You couldn't imagine your family missing any one of them. Leanne and I, we're now seven, aren't we? No, eight, two, three, six, seven. We're seven. So we couldn't imagine family without any of us. Earl, I can't count how many you are. But you can't imagine family without any of the others. And that's the key. I mean, and I know I'm part of Earl's family somehow too, and Earl's part of my family, and you guys are all part of family. You know, we can't imagine it without any of the others. And that's what it's all about. And how is it that way? Because Christ came and lived among us. Christ came, and ultimately, we didn't want him, and he went through the crucifixion. And he went through that for us. And then on the third day, he rose again for us. Not for himself. He didn't need any more glory. He's already God. But he did that for us. And he did that because he couldn't imagine heaven. He didn't want heaven without us. So guys, let's think of that. As we look to relationships, especially husbands, Paul said, husbands, treat your wives the way God or way Christ treated the church. And he died for her. So guys, that's our job. And wives, respond to your husbands just like you would to Christ. And if we all keep that attitude, man, the world's a better place because we all love one another. I mean, that's what Jesus taught over and over and over again. Love one another. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, may your word be real in us. May your life be real in us. May your Holy Spirit just empower us to live for you and to love others the way you love us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate the good word. I heard my dad say something very similar to that, and that's good. Just a little bit farther in Ephesians 5, if I may.
Sure.
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. That's the conclusion of where Paul started. And I raise that to say this. If you're part of our congregation, part of the church, you're part of our family. And we couldn't imagine life without you anymore than any of the rest of us. So you're important too, and thank you for being part of us this evening on Zoom or in person and wherever we were. So God bless you with an awesome week, and we'll look forward to being together next Sunday at our regular time at 6 o'clock. Be blessed.